Tonight was another sold-out show for WWE. They, of course, are hot on the road to WrestleMania. Tonight they were in Houston, Texas. They were in Dallas last week. Tonight they were in Houston. You know, for a company with so many sold-out shows, they had over 12,000 people in the building tonight. It's awfully quiet for large parts of the show. It's very strange. This crowd did not seem to be as animated as some of the other crowds they've had recently. But they got loud when it counted, which was towards the end of the main event. A gauntlet match to decide who would challenge Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania, and it came down to the two men who were the favorites going in, Sami Zayn and Chad Gable. It came down to the two of them, which one would be going on to challenge Gunther, because the other people in the match, they didn't stand a chance. So you knew it was going to be one of those two. And there are times when I watch this show and I get my heart set on something. Or there's someone that I want to see go on to, whether it's WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, whatever it might be. I want to see them go on and I want to see them finish their story because, you know, for whatever reason, people get behind somebody. And I felt that way about Chad Gable. Really got into the story they did with him last year with Gunther. They had those great matches on TV. We saw his little girl in the front row bawling her eyes out, and we saw a serious side of Chad Gable, and he vowed to come back and win the title from Gunther. I swear to God, I'm going to be the one to take that title from you. And then all these months went by of nothing. 5 months. Of nothing. We had more of Otis and Maxxine Dupri and Tozawa on television than we did Chad Gable. It's like they completely forgot about the guy. And the times that we did see him, more often than not, he lost. So we came to the beginning of the year, and it was getting painfully obvious that Chad Gable was not going to be factoring into whatever plans they had for Gunther at WrestleMania. We pretty much knew that when it was supposed to be Gunther and Brock. But then when Brock went away, I thought, maybe there's a chance. Maybe there's a chance. And then all of a sudden, Chad Gable, he reappeared on TV. And he started to remind people about the fact that he had unfinished business with this man. He was coming for him. He called him a bad father. He made his daughter cry. All of a sudden, it's like they remembered the story from all those months ago. And I thought, maybe there's a chance. And at the same time that they started to dust off Chad Gable and remind us of that, we had Sami Zayn, who over the past month has been cutting these promos and sitting in an empty arena with Jackie Redmond and talking about how, you know, I have to get back to my winning ways. A year ago, I was wrestling Roman Reigns for the Undisputed Championship. A year ago in the main event of WrestleMania, I was wrestling for and challenging and won the tag team titles. And now I have no path to WrestleMania, but I want to do something historic. I need to win the championship. It was the world championship. Then all of a sudden it wasn't the world title. Now he just has to do something historic and win a championship. And so they've been telling that story with Sami Zayn. And so all roads led to tonight. It could have gone either way. My heart said Chad Gable. My head said Sami Zayn. My head being, this is what WWE is likely to do. My heart telling me this is what I want WWE to do. WWE tonight, they broke my heart, they went with the brain, and they went with the obvious story that if you paid attention to this television show over the past month, it should have been clear this is the direction that they were going to go in. It will be Sami Zayn and not Chad Gable going to WrestleMania to challenge for the Intercontinental Championship. I was very deflated when this show went off the air tonight. It has nothing to do with any kind of hatred of Sami Zayn. I love Sami Zayn. I think Sami Zayn is great. And I'm glad that he has a prominent match for himself at WrestleMania. But man, they got my hopes up. They got my hopes up again that maybe they were going to follow through on that story. Maybe there was going to be a happy ending after all for Chad Gable. And look, you can't discount the possibility that there still might be, because if you take a look at his shoulders, at the end of the mat, you look right there, his shoulders are not totally down on the mat. Now, is it something that I think they're going to bring up next week? Is this something I think that's going to factor into the story? Probably not. I think I'm probably grasping for straws and hoping for something that is not going to be there. But you can't rule it out completely because it's right there in front of your face. Your eyes don't lie. His shoulders were not totally down. So I'm just saying, if they wanted to weave that into the story and give us a triple threat match, the option to do so is there. Because that man's shoulders, clearly both shoulders, were not completely flat on the mat. But right now it looks like Gable's story is done. There will be no match for Chad Gable at WrestleMania, at least not for the Intercontinental title. Sami Zayn is going to go on to challenge Gunther. I do not believe that Sami Zayn is going to beat Gunther. I believe he is going to retain his championship at WrestleMania. Frankly, maybe that was always going to be the plan regardless. Had Brock Lesnar not gotten bounced off the WrestleMania card, I would have hoped that Gunther would beat him too. And they wouldn't just have Brock Lesnar beat Gunther and be the guy to end the streak. He already ended one streak that he shouldn't have ended. He doesn't need to end two. So whether it was Brock, whether it was Gable, now it's going to be Sammy. Maybe the end result was always going to be the same regardless. And Gunther, they're going to keep him undefeated in singles action for the foreseeable future. Maybe until he wins the World Heavyweight title. I don't know. But I thought it was a missed opportunity tonight to tell that story with Chad Gable. They have their own story they're going to tell. The fact is, they dropped the ball 5 months ago. Triple H dropped the ball 5 months ago. Because if you wanted to tell the story with Chad Gable, which obviously they didn't, but if you wanted to, you wouldn't have taken him off television in the first place. You wouldn't have had people forget about this story in September. And what you would have been doing was you would have been reminding them every single month. You would have had Chad Gable going out there on television actively every single week and saying, look, Gunther sent me to the back of the line here. Well, then that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to the back of the line. I'm going to work my way back up into title contention. And I am going to deliver on my promise. And I'm going to beat you. And I'm going to take that title. And every person that you saw in that gauntlet tonight, at least on the heel side, Bronson Reed, Shinsuke Nakamura, Ivar, who was not in the match tonight, but Ivar, another big man, right, another monster that we've seen him in the ring with, that he's been wrestling, he could have gone through these men one by one, and each time he could have found a way to win, even when it looked like he wasn't going to. He pulls it out in the end, and he finds a way to keep winning. Until finally, he's back in the number one contender position. That would have been the way to go. What they did was, they blew the dust off of him and said, oh, by the way, don't forget about this guy. They put together a couple of really good vignettes, and it was all very rushed. So I guess I shouldn't be surprised. But I was disappointed when this show went off the air tonight. I never thought I would be disappointed to be looking at a Sami Zayn Gunther match for WrestleMania. But I was very deflated when this show went off the air today. The gauntlet itself really picked up there with the final two. It went 40 minutes. I figured they were going to give it a lot of time. But look, what else can be said here, right? Like I said, we'll see if they revisit the finish with the shoulders. I think that's just me coping here. But what are you going to do? The tag team titles are going to be defended at WrestleMania. We're going to get what is going to be a clusterfuck of a match. This is what Adam Pearce and Nick Aldis came up with. What did they come up with? They came up with a six-pack challenge. But not just any six-pack challenge. It's going to be a ladder match six-pack challenge. That's their way of getting everybody on the show at WrestleMania. Boy, is that going to be a cluster. Jey Uso also issued the challenge formally. I think we've known for months this is the direction that we were going to go in, but now it is official that Jimmy Uso and Jey Uso, the challenge has been set. All Jimmy has to do now is say, I accept. Jey laid down the gauntlet tonight, and we're going to get Uso against Uso at WrestleMania. I hope it goes better than Matt and Jeff and some of the other matches that we have gotten, Brie and Nikki. I mean, for every Brett and Owen, you have another example of siblings facing off against each other that doesn't exactly work out very well. Hopefully this will be different. But that match now is all but official for WrestleMania. This was not a bad show. I was bored, I would say, for the first half of it. And the crowd was, again, unusually quiet for parts of it that you would expect them to be up for. Crowd reaction aside, I thought the first half of the show was kind of boring. And like I said, it picked up there and I enjoyed the gauntlet. We'll go through the entire show because this is your Monday Night Raw review here for, what is today? Today is the 11th already. Look at this. We're barreling through the month. We're almost halfway through March already. March 11th, 2024. I swear, this daylight savings thing threw me off. I love daylight savings later in the year when we gain an hour, and I fucking hate it when we lose an hour because I've been all screwed up over the last couple of days. They showed rapper Travis Scott arriving at the building earlier today in his Stone Cold Retro DTA t-shirt. Did you notice the t-shirt that he was wearing? I saw that shirt, brought me back to 1998. We were just talking about Stone Cold last week. 25 years later, after his peak. This guy is still top 10 merch seller in the company every single month. So he had his DTA shirt on. He was greeted by Jey Uso. Drew McIntyre was out to the ring to kick things off with a promo. Some fans were giving McIntyre the what treatment at the beginning of his promo here, and he put that to rest by saying, "Say what if you're glad I took out CM Punk?" And they booed. Some of them said what, but they booed. Well played. Not as well played as The Undertaker did many years ago, but well played. So there was a CM Punk chant that broke out. McIntyre looked into the camera and said he expected a thank you from Punk for keeping him relevant. McIntyre brought up The Rock, and he talked about how pro wrestling started at carnivals, and then it moved to armories. And, of course, now they're in these sold-out venues like they are tonight. Now they work with one of the most powerful people on Earth. He said he gets why Cody is upset, but it doesn't involve him, nor does it involve Seth Rollins. And McIntyre said everybody from the locker room to the board knows that he is a champion that this company can be proud of. So Seth Rollins made his entrance, and he told McIntyre to do everybody a favor by shutting his mouth. Rollins said McIntyre has been begging for his attention. So he dropped down to his knees. Didn't know where this was going, but he dropped down to his knees and he told Drew he was going to give him a free shot with a Claymore kick. Go ahead. You want to kick me in the face? Kick me in the face. Then he got up to his feet. He forgot that Drew was a coward, he said. So he stood up. He turned his back to him instead. McIntyre wouldn't take the bait. He said before things get weirder, Rollins was right when he told him to get over the bloodline. McIntyre said he gave Seth the same advice, but all Rollins cares about is himself. Rollins said McIntyre is starting to remind him of a certain someone from Chicago, starting to remind him of CM Punk. He thought Punk was the biggest hypocrite in the world until he met McIntyre. Rollins said McIntyre complained about the bloodline. Now it feels like he's an honorary member. And he pointed out that McIntyre got some help from the bloodline when he beat Cody Rhodes. He got an assist from the bloodline when he beat Jey Uso last week. He said he believes that Drew would love nothing more than to have the bloodline help him take the title. Rollins said it's not going to happen. He and Cody are going to take down the bloodline on night one of WrestleMania. And then he will stomp and pin McIntyre on night two. McIntyre said that he knew Rollins wanted him to put him out of his misery, but there was nothing he could say that would provoke him, and he went to go leave. And as McIntyre is leaving the ringside area, Rollins is still on the microphone in the ring. He called out to him, and he said, "You know, I haven't paid much attention to you on this road to WrestleMania because of all the things I have to worry about going into the show. The bloodline, The Rock, all this stuff. You are at the very bottom of that list." And McIntyre had his back turned, but the camera was on his face, and you could see that it was getting to him. And so he turned to go back to the ring. Then he stopped. He decided against it, even though Rollins was trying to goad him into the ring. And so Rollins danced. McIntyre stormed to the back. So the story here, as I see it, is that Rollins is underestimating Drew McIntyre. He He's focused on all of these other things. He's out there with Cody like they're best friends. He's talking about The Rock. He's talking about Roman Reigns. He was on SmackDown Friday night. He's so happy that he's getting his first real main event of WrestleMania. Because he doesn't count the cash-in at WrestleMania 31. He said that at the house show the other night. He said he considers this to be his first real official WrestleMania main event. That is his only focus right now. He's the co-main event on night two. We know that they're going to probably open the show. They're not closing night two. So his only shot at main eventing WrestleMania comes on night one. So he is focused on all of these other things, and he's not taking Drew McIntyre as seriously as he should. And that may be his undoing if he goes on to night two. Ultimately, you know, that's his out if he goes to night two and he loses the championship because he took his eye off the ball. And in the end, it may cost him. So that's that story. All these CM Punk references, though. We keep getting the CM Punk references. Drew has been doing a tremendous job of just burning this man. He's posted all kinds of videos on social media. And somebody mentioned it before. He had a video the other day. He was leaving, I think, the show last week. And he's filming himself in his car. As he's pulling out of the arena parking lot, you see fans outside. And he has the windows rolled down, and he starts blasting Cult of Personality. Like, he's doing all of these things to keep it in your mind, you know, that he's feuding with CM Punk, and Punk's going to come for him when he comes back. But Punk tore his tricep in January. It hasn't even been a full 2 months. So we're not going to get CM Punk back in a wrestling ring in a match for a while yet. So it's not like his return is imminent. But all of these CM Punk mentions make me wonder if, in fact, he is going to play a role of some kind in this match on WrestleMania Sunday. Whether it's as a referee, and how they would swing that, I don't know. The thing with him possibly being a referee, now he's got the injury, so he's going to be very limited as far as doing anything physical. And being a referee is a physical job. You know, you got to drop down, you got to count. I don't know if he's a righty or a lefty. I don't know which arm it is he had operated on. I mean, I guess if you were a referee, you could always use your other arm if one was damaged. So we have to keep that in mind. I don't know physically where he is, what he's cleared to do or not. He could be a referee for the match, and it would make sense because you can't just say, well, it's not fair to Drew McIntyre because Drew McIntyre is the one who injured him and he's been mocking him, and so it would be unfair to Drew. It would be, but... It's not as if he and Seth Rollins are the best of friends. So you can play up the fact that both these men do not like CM Punk. And so is he going to show favoritism in the match if he's the referee? I don't necessarily think he's going to be, but I'm just saying it seems to me like he may end up playing a role of some kind. Maybe he's going to sit at ringside and do commentary for the match. Maybe there'll be some kind of a distraction. Drew McIntyre, he allows this man to distract him. And it ends up costing him the match. I don't know. But the constant CM Punk references make me think he's going to be part of this in some way. We'll see. We got a Chad Gable video package, which now that I talk about this makes me very sad. Because this was well done. And he was talking about his quest to win the Intercontinental Championship. So this was very good. It meant nothing in the end, but this was very good. We had Becky Lynch one-on-one with Liv Morgan. So one thing they've been doing over the last few weeks with the video game being out now, in the corner of the screen, they will show you the ratings for each of the wrestlers in the match. I don't know why people care about this outside of when you're playing the game, who gives a shit? It's like, how many stars did Meltzer give the match? Like, I don't care, but they put the rating in the corner of the screen, and so Michael Cole, on commentary, he says that 2K24 has been getting rave reviews. And Pat McAfee says, they're saying it's like the greatest game ever made. It's the greatest game of all time, were his exact words. Now, I don't know who this they is, that McAfee is talking about. It's like the man they call Vader. It's been 25 years, I'm still trying to figure out who they are. And I haven't played the game yet, just for the record. I have the game downloaded. I actually downloaded the game a few hours ago. Shout out to Antonio, by the way, if he's watching. Shout out to him for the code. He ordered the game by accident through Amazon, and so he had no use for it. He wasn't going to use it, and so he knew I was going to be doing Sound Off Gamer. He reached out to me, thankfully, the day before. I was probably going to drop 60 on this game and said, hey, do you want the code? I said, fuck yeah. So salute to him. So 2K24 is downloaded. I have not played it yet. I have not opened the game yet. So I cannot vouch for how good or bad it is. But to those of you that have played the game, let me know. Is it, in fact, the greatest game ever made? Should I believe Pat McAfee and these mystery people that he is referring to? Is 2K24 actually better than Grand Theft Auto Vice City? Is it better than Super Mario World? Is it better than the classics? That's what I want to know. No Mercy? Yeah, well, hey, people love No Mercy. People still hold No Mercy in regard as, like, you know, the kind of the crown jewel of wrestling video games. So anyway, you know what, though? It may be the greatest game of all time, because somebody tweeted me tonight. In the game, I guess it might be in showcase mode. For WrestleMania 30, they have highlights from WrestleMania 30. And, of course, they have highlights of Brock beating Undertaker and ending the streak. And so they have the shot in the game where I am in the lower right-hand corner of the screen, immediately in the aftermath of the streak ending, and you see me, I'm wearing glasses, but I'm on camera, and I'm laughing. Everybody else is shocked. And I'm the one person who's laughing, because what else are you going to do in that situation? You laugh. You just laugh at it. Where's my royalties? I didn't sign a waiver for this. Do I get royalties for being in the video game? It may be the greatest game ever made because I'm in it. I may only be in it for 3 seconds, but I'm in the game. I want my royalty checks. So they went to break here, Becky Lynch and Liv Morgan. They went to break less than 2 minutes into the match, right after Liv hit a very rough-looking suicide dive. Becky came back with exploder suplexes, but as she came off the middle rope, Liv caught her with a code breaker, and then she caught her with a second code breaker a few minutes later and got a near fall out of it. They battled on the apron, which led to Morgan hitting a sunset flip powerbomb to the floor outside. Becky countered an oblivion with a manhandle slam. Morgan, though, rolled out of the ring before she could make the cover. And wouldn't you know it, she rolled out right as they were going to another commercial break. Becky got an armbar applied. Liv countered, hit a tornado DDT. Liv hit oblivion. Becky rolled out of the ring this time, so she couldn't get the pin. Morgan tried something off the top rope. Becky, though, caught her a few minutes later. And when she caught Liv, she delivered a manhandle slam. And she pinned her. So, Liv Morgan, thanks for coming. Becky Lynch on her road to Rhea Ripley. Wouldn't you all love to be on the road to Rhea Ripley? Well, you're not. Becky Lynch is. And she picks up the win. The crowd was really quiet. To go back to what I said at the beginning about the crowd being quiet during parts of the show that, you know, you would expect them to maybe be excited for. They were pretty quiet for the majority of this match. As the match went on, it got better. It's a little rough at first, especially that suicide dive that Liv did. But as it went on, I thought, you know, it got better. There was a sunset bomb spot during this match where Becky got powerbombed from the apron to the floor. And, I mean, she bounced off the ground. But really, from that sunset bomb spot onward, the crowd was pretty up for this. And it turned into a very good match, very competitive here between these two. Rhea Ripley's music played. And so she starts to slowly make her way down to the ring. She passed by Liv Morgan as she was coming to the ring. And Liv was very angry. So she's kind of to the side of Rhea. She's looking at her and she's telling Rhea that she's coming for her. She's coming for everything that Rhea loves. You took everything from me, now I'm going to take everything from you. Rhea just blew her a kiss, kept on walking into the ring. Loud chants for Rhea, which has been the case pretty much every single week. She congratulated Becky for beating Liv and then asked her if it was all worth it. She said every week she seems to be picking these fights and leaving it all in the ring, and each week we get closer and closer to WrestleMania. And Becky is going out there and she keeps wrestling this person and that person, and she's getting worn down by this. She says she does it for these people, right? She says, you say you do it for the people, you do it for your family. But she knows the real reason why Becky is doing this. She said that she has to prove to herself that she is still the best here in this company, but deep down, she says that Becky knows that Rhea is better than she is. And that's why she keeps accepting all of these matches until WrestleMania, because she wants an excuse for when she goes to WrestleMania and inevitably loses to Rhea Ripley. This is going to be what she looks back on and blames. This is her excuse. So Becky had a response to her. She also, I should mention the closing line here. She said to Becky that you'll be walking out of WrestleMania as nothing more than a disappointment. So then Becky responded and said, you know, before the Royal Rumble, I told you that I thought you might be better than me. And I had to prove you wrong. I planted a seed of doubt, and that tree grew into a tree with branches and leaves and roots and vines that are wrapping all over the world, like cordyceps. But the thing about her is that when people believe in her, she's good. But when people doubt her, she's great. So Rhea, if it has to be me against the whole world, then the whole world doesn't stand a chance. And she slammed the mic down. That line did not get as much of a reaction as you would expect it to. Becky is going to be fighting some mixed reactions between now and WrestleMania. She may be fighting one at WrestleMania. Not that she's going to get booed out of the building, but again, Rhea is very popular right now, even though she's supposed to be the heel in this, right? She's part of the top heel faction on this show. They're going to be fighting the tide against, you know, some of these crowds, just the way it is. But I like the story they're telling, where she is trying to prove to herself that she is better than this woman. Because if you think about it, it's a compliment to Rhea. They're putting over Rhea with this story. Whatever happens at WrestleMania, and I hope Rhea retains at WrestleMania. But whatever happens there, the story is, damn, this woman is good. I don't think I'm better than her. Like, Becky has been around on top for 5 years now, right? 5 or 6 years. It was 2018. Really, from 2018, the summer of 2018 onward, Becky Lynch has been, outside of the time that she took off to have her baby, the top or one of the top female stars in this entire company. So the fact that now she doubts herself, like, shit, this woman is so good, I may not be better than her, it's a way to put over Rhea. So I like that aspect of it. And the match itself, again, I have high hopes for the match at WrestleMania. Becky had a great match with Bianca Belair at WrestleMania 38. She had that great cage match with Trish Stratus last year. She had a great match with Tiffany Stratton at No Mercy on the NXT show last fall. You know, Becky has shown, even the match with Nia Jax on day one, the first episode of Raw, was a hell of a lot better than I was expecting it to be. She can go out there and she can put on a great match, and we know Rhea can too. It's just a matter of getting them in the ring with the right person. So I expect that they're going to have a very good match at WrestleMania. I'm looking forward to it. We then got a groundbreaking announcement in the backstage area from the two general managers. Nick Aldis was there. Adam Pearce, of course, is the Raw GM. Aldis announced that at WrestleMania, the Judgment Day will be defending their undisputed tag team titles against five of the very best tag teams today in WWE. In a very special match, it is going to be a six-pack ladder match. Pierce said that over the next few weeks on Raw and SmackDown, teams will fight to win their right to get into the match. And it's going to be three teams from Raw, and it's going to be two teams from SmackDown. That's what they agreed to. So we have six teams in a ladder match, which sounds like a clusterfuck is what that sounds like. That sounds like they'll be very lucky if they come out of that match without anybody getting hurt. With all those bodies and all those ladders, you'll have fucking 16 ladders in the ring at one time, probably. But again, it's their way of getting everybody on the show. Now, I thought it was going to be Miz and R-Truth taking on the Judgment Day. I expect Miz and Truth will be in the ladder match. But now that you put, you know, four other teams in there, It opens up some possibilities here where I could see a DIY pulling out the win. I could see Gargano and Ciampa standing on top of that ladder holding up those belts, right? I think that there's a possibility of that. I still tend to lean in the camp of Miz and R-Truth. But it does make things a little more interesting now that you're putting these other teams in the match. But I had another thought here, which, and this may be part of the reason why they're doing the stipulation. Maybe they're both going to win. And it doesn't have to be those two. It could be any two. My point is, maybe we get two teams that win. Because you have two sets of tag team titles. They have not been unified, technically, even though they've been defended that way. It's the same thing with Roman's title, even though they have one belt now. I guess you would say they're unified. But you have, for the longest time, he was carrying two belts around. You still have two sets of tag team titles that Balor and Priest are carrying around every single week. We've heard rumors that there's new tag team title belts that were made a year ago. I mean, I first heard that they had new belts made over a year ago. And they just never debuted them on TV. They're sitting in a warehouse somewhere. So are we going to see new belts? Are we not going to see new belts? What I think we might see is you might have one team pull down one set of belts and another team pulls down another set of belts. And that's how they split the belts. And we may get Raw Tag Team Champions again and SmackDown Tag Team Champions again. Because in a ladder match, right, who knows who's going to pull down what? So maybe that's the purpose of the stipulation. Maybe we actually get two teams technically that win the match and that's how they get split. I think that's a possibility. We had Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell taking on Ivy Nile and Maxine Dupree. Oh boy. Let's talk about this. This did not go very long, but it wasn't about the match. Ivy started. Maxine, though, tagged it. And Maxine, actually, she hit a few moves. The few moves that Maxine hit looked good. She went on a little flurry there for about 20 seconds, and what she did looked fine. And then she was going to go for a reverse caterpillar that she learned from Otis. And she starts to do the caterpillar. She's doing it backwards. And she's slinking and slinking, and then she gets back to her feet. And when she turns around, she gets spooked because Candice LeRae is standing there, right? Because her partner was down. Now, Candice is standing there. And Candice LeRae proceeds to berate this woman. She was offended that Maxine was going to try such a stupid move on her team. And she said that you don't belong here. She said she brought up the fans booing. She brought up the fan. Now, the fans in the building tonight were not booing Maxine, but she was referring to the video from the house show in Bakersfield that went viral, you know, a week ago. When after her match with Nia Jax, as she was walking to the back, the fans were booing Maxine. And you had a couple of people saying, you suck. And it became a big story, which really wasn't much of a story at all, but it became one because that's what happens today. Everything becomes a story. But they are turning it into a storyline. She mocked her for the internet hurting her feelings. And she said the internet comments were nothing compared to what the other women in the locker room were saying about her. And then, now you could have left it right there. All right, you could have left it right there. But then she said, Maxine should be happy that her dead brother isn't there to see what a disappointment she was. Ugh. Maxine said, I can't do this anymore. And she went to go leave. And she got booted in the face by Indy Hartwell. Candice booted Ivy off the apron. She told Indy, go ahead and pin Maxine. Because it looked like Indy was hesitant here, this whole thing. But it was Candice who was calling the shots. And Candice told her to go ahead and get the pin. And she did. The announcers called Candice despicable for those comments. This felt so forced. This was so forced. And that's one of the reasons why I rolled my eyes at the mention of her dead brother. So for those who don't know, Maxine, she had an older brother many years ago. It might have been 6 years ago or something. I don't know the circumstances, but he passed away. So that is a real story. But my issue with it is, it added nothing to this. There was no purpose other than to just shock. It's like, and I was immediately reminded of the stupid segment on TV with Bree and Nikki many years ago. I wish you would have died in the womb. And I the hairs on the back of my neck stood up. That's what this reminded me of. But here, it just, you could have ended it right there where she's bullying this woman. You don't belong. That's why the fans boo you. You're no good. You should see what the other women are saying about you. Get out of here. We don't want to have anything to, like, that alone would have been fine. I don't have an issue with them turning this into a storyline. I actually like the fact that they're leaning into it. I appreciate that. Because if you're going to use this woman on TV, who, by the way, has no business being in the ring on TV, that's why they have a performance center. I think there's the potential there for her to get better. That's where she should be right now. If they insist on keeping her on television as more than just a valet and part of the Alpha Academy, if she's going to actually wrestle and have matches, if they want to lean into this, that's fine. I'm fine with bringing some realism into my wrestling. I feel like that's when it's at its best. The brother thing was just there to shock people. It's just stupid. It's dumb. I cringed when she said that. But just the way the whole thing was presented, it was so forced. There's a natural way that you could tell this story with Maxine to make it feel more organic and more natural. This was not the way. And you could hear a pin drop in that building, probably because the people in the crowd couldn't hear a fucking thing she was saying. So that didn't help. But this was terrible. I mean, I know exactly what they were going for here, but this was a misfire. This did not work. And hopefully that will be the only mention of her brother, because, again, it serves no purpose. Backstage, Priest and Balor stormed into the office where Adam Pearce and Nick Aldis were. They complained about the ladder match at WrestleMania. Priest demanded to know whose idea it was. And Adam Pearce said that, you know, we pull ideas from a lot of different places and we hear from fans online. There's your first mistake, by the way. And as if that wasn't bad enough, that Adam Pearce and Nick Aldis said that they were pulling ideas from the fans on the internet, from the fans on social media. He then said, well, you know, we heard from Miz and R-Truth. And Priest couldn't believe what he was hearing here. He couldn't believe that these men were consulting R-Truth for ideas. I agree. We're talking about a man who flew himself to Austria, thinking that is where Elimination Chamber was being held. This is the person that they're consulting for ideas. So Priest called for a match against them. Pierce said, well, Miz and Truth are not here tonight. They're out doing media. Which begs the question, given that they're part of the Monday Night Raw roster, why would WWE have two Raw wrestlers out doing media on a Monday night? That doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. But it didn't matter because all of a sudden R-Truth shows up. And Pierce says, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be out doing media. And he said, yeah, that's on Monday. And Pierce reminds him that it is Monday. Which you would think he would know that because Monday isn't the name of the fucking show. But he didn't realize. And so Priest told Pierce, make the match. Michael Cole was in the ring. And he had two chairs in the ring. And he introduced Cody Rhodes for a sit-down interview. We're going to get a live in-ring sit-down interview. They sit down and Cole goes, what do you want to talk about? And he laughs and he says, I had to. No, you really didn't. You really didn't have to. Cole recalled The Rock pointing out that he is on the board of directors. He is Cody's boss. And Cole asked Cody, given that, why would you slap The Rock on SmackDown? And Cody said, I know Rock claims to be my boss. I'm not actually sure that he is. But, you know, if Rock is my boss, it feels good to slap the boss. Cody said The Rock was a great wrestler before everything else came along. He said that slap was, in his words, a receipt. So Cole asked Cody about him and Rollins agreeing to have this tag team match on night one of WrestleMania when they both have championship matches on WrestleMania Sunday. And then he asked Cody about how the hell can you trust Seth Rollins? Because this is a man, He's the last man to beat Roman Reigns one-on-one, albeit by disqualification. But he is the last man to beat Roman Reigns. And how can you be sure that he doesn't want to be the one to end this streak that Roman is on? And he doesn't want to be the one to take the championship from Roman Reigns. How can you trust this man? How can you be sure? Cody said that people change, and he reminded Cole of his own heel character many years ago, which I like to forget, when Cole was sitting inside of a plexiglass box talking about his coal miners every single week. Need I remind you? He reminded him of that. He said, you know, I'm also the guy who smashed a throne, and now the person who sits on that throne has become my closest ally. He goes, I even teamed with Jey Uso. He said he and Seth haven't always gotten along, but Rollins has always had his respect. Cody said that this is his shot at getting a fair fight against Roman on night two. And he set up some footage for us on the big screen of an interview that Michael Cole did with him. He was in the ring with Jey Uso back in October on TV. And Cole asked him a question. He said, after coming so close to winning the championship at WrestleMania last year, whether that would end up being your story, that you came this close and you couldn't get the job done. Is that going to be your story, just like your father? And Cody said that it was a good question. I love, by the way, and I know, you know, to the winners go the spoils, and the winners get to write history the way they want to write history. I love the fact that, and look, it's WWE. So to them, WWE is the end-all be-all of everything. But they talk about this like, is your story going to end up being like your dad? Like Dusty didn't do shit outside of almost winning the WWF title in 1977. Like, forget the fact that he was a multiple-time NWA World Heavyweight Champion, all the other titles he won. None of that matters. None of that counts. None of that even happened. Like, Dusty Rhodes, when people think of Dusty Rhodes, the story is, oh, the guy that almost won the title. I love it. So Cody said, they come back live, and Cody says, that question you asked me back in October, he goes, that was a good question. And then he said, the old head podcasters can't believe that he comes out wearing suits and using big words every week on TV. Old head podcasters. I don't know if I should be offended. Should I be offended by this? Am I considered an old head podcaster? I don't think I'm that old. I mean, I've been doing this since 2007, but I don't consider myself old. I don't know if I'm lumped into this category or not. I don't know if I should be offended by this. So he said the story is no longer about him and Roman Reigns. It's about the fans that have followed him to the absolute end. And he told a story about a blind fan who came to a show to feel the cheers, and another fan who came to the show. He had undergone spinal fusion surgery, and he wanted nothing more than to get Cody's weight belt as a gift. Old head Solo. LaGreca. You know what? He probably is talking about LaGreca. That's right. He's not talking about me. He's talking about LaGreca. That's right. He's talking about Dave LaGreca, not me. I'm the young blood. He's the old head. I'm the young blood. So Cody brought up his mom, and he got emotional. Said that, I can't hand the title to Dusty, but I can hand the title to Michelle Rubio. Which is his mom's name. And then he also said, he brought up Brandy. He said, my wife, Brandy Rhodes, took a shot on me back when I was wearing a goofy mask and taking RKOs every night. He said, this story is beyond just me, but it's up to me. He stood up, he looked into the camera, referring to Roman, stating last year that they were only in the third inning. Did Roman say that? I know Paul Heyman said that. Paul Heyman said that after SummerSlam at the post-show press conference. Oh, we're only in the third inning. And I'm like, excuse me? So I know he said that. I don't know if Roman ever said that. But in any event, they're in the third inning, is what the Bloodline said. Cody says, we're not in the third inning, we're in the last inning. He said, Cole will get to say at WrestleMania that Cody Rhodes has finished the story. And then he shook hands with Cole, and they hugged each other. Cody showed some good emotion here. Cody does that from time to time. He cries, he gets emotional. Doesn't cry as much as Ric Flair, but he's getting close. But I thought this was good. It was good to get a Cody promo without him and Seth, so they don't always have to be attached at the hip. I thought this was fine. You know, it's a different style sit-down interview. Usually we get the sit-downs backstage. But I thought this was fine. You know, we knew Roman wasn't going to be on the show. We know Rock, you know, they can't be bothered to be on Raw. Even though Raw would be the show for them to be on because they get 3 hours, so they don't get cut off at the end of the show. But they only appear on SmackDown. So I thought this was fine. Cody's coming out there and saying, look, this is not just about me. Everybody talks about my story. It's not just my story. It's your story. It's my family's story. Everybody who supported me, I have to do this for them. I can't do it for Dusty. I can't hand the belt to Dusty, which is what I always wanted to do. But I could hand it to my mom. I could share it with my family. All right? They're really laying it on thick here. They're really going for that Rocky moment at the end of WrestleMania this year. Liv Morgan was shown backstage sulking when Becky Lynch walked up to her. Before Becky could say anything, though, she got ambushed from behind, both of them did, by Nia Jax, who rumbled into the camera frame and knocked them both down. She threw Liv into one of the equipment cases. She put Becky with a manhandle slam through a table and basically pulled a Braun Strowman and said, I'm not finished with you. We're not done with these two yet. Later on in the show, they showed Becky in the back. She was looking half dead, just looking into the camera, looking very tired. And she said, I probably shouldn't be doing this close to WrestleMania. But next week, Nia Jax, you and me, last woman standing. So they're going to milk this for all that it's worth. I mean, you knew something was going to happen because when they had their match previously, Liv got involved, so we didn't get a decisive finish. Becky still hasn't really decisively put Nia away. Rhea Ripley did, but Becky still hasn't. Next week will be her chance to finally put her away, which is what she's going to do. We had the Kabuki Warriors defending the women's tag team titles against Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark. Late in the match, Stark caught Kairi with a super kick and then tagged out before hitting the Z360. Baszler blasted Kairi with a knee strike and had her pinned until Asuka broke it up. Zoe went for a dive from the ring. Asuka moved out of the way, which caused Zoe to crash and burn. Baszler got Kairi in the Kirifuda clutch. Dakota Kai, though, reached in and grabbed Baszler's foot. That caused her a distraction. Asuka tagged in, put Baszler down with a kick. And then Kairi tagged in, and we got the assisted insane elbow drop. She pinned Shayna to retain the titles. Match was fine, you know, it was very basic. Nothing terribly wrong with it, but also nothing great. Crowd was pretty quiet for it. And the Kabuki Warriors were not losing the tag team titles to Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark. 3 weeks out, or whatever we are now, 3 weeks, right? 3 weeks out from WrestleMania? I mean, come on. It's going to be very interesting to see what they do, though, with Asuka and Kairi, because I still think there's a chance they will defend those titles at WrestleMania. Would it be against, you know, Bianca and Naomi? Could they bring Jade in and do Bianca and Jade, but then what does Naomi do? So, do they do a title match, or do they do a six-person tag, and maybe they bring Jade in? We have Bianca, Jade, and Naomi against Asuka, Kairi, and Dakota to get them all in the ring, since Dakota is cleared now, and so I'm sure she's going to want to have a match at WrestleMania. Backstage, we had Rhea Ripley, Damian Priest, Finn Balor, and JD McDonagh in the Judgment Day clubhouse. Andrade walks in, and Ripley says that Dominic is not here tonight, which, you know, he just got married, so I assume he's on his honeymoon, getting booed somewhere. She didn't mention that, though. She just said he wasn't here. Once Dom is back, though, she invited Andrade to come back and talk business if you're interested. And he says he's always interested in talking business. And that was the end of it. He turned around and he left. And Balor said that he agrees with Dom about Andrade. He feels there's a lot he could bring to the table. Priest said, that's great and all, but how about we focus on these five other teams that we're going to have to contend with at WrestleMania? And so he said he was going to start tonight with R-Truth. It was almost 10 p.m. It was about 9:40 at this point. And we were about to get our very first, I don't know if you've noticed here, as I've reviewed this show so far, I've not reviewed a single men's match. I've talked about a lot of promos. I've talked about video games. I've talked about Dave LaGreca. I've talked about all kinds of shit. But I have not talked about a men's match on this show. That's because up to this point, almost a full 2 hours into this program, we had yet to have a single men's match. We had three consecutive women's matches to basically open the show. I can't think of another time that that would have happened here on Raw. This may have been the first time that's ever happened in the history of the show, where it opened up with, as far as matches, three straight women's matches. And it was almost the final hour we were getting our first men's match tonight. So a very heavy emphasis on the women tonight, plus the angle with Maxine. And it's great that they're focusing more heavily on the women, but it just hit me like I can't remember another episode of Raw where they probably did that. The green pianist says TK is shivering right now. He's breaking out in a cold sweat. Watching three consecutive women's matches. I don't think we've ever seen that ever on an AEW show. So yes, we had R-Truth one-on-one here with Damian Priest. Priest was out second. As soon as he got into the ring, he dropped the Money in the Bank briefcase. Before the bell even rang, he ran over to R-Truth and he blasted him with a forearm shot. And he knocked him down. And they had to replay it because Michael Cole was still narrating a plug for 2K24 throughout the entire thing. We didn't even see it because they had a graphic up on screen with the cover with Cody Rhodes. This happened during the video game plug. So we could hear the crowd reacting to something, but we couldn't see what. So they replayed it and then we saw it. And so what does the referee do here? The referee rewards Damian Priest by calling for the bell to start the match. Even though this man was he was blindsided by a forearm to the temple, and he was down, I didn't see her checking on him and asking him if he was okay. She called for the bell, and we were underway. So a few minutes into this, Priest set Truth up outside the ring for a razor's edge. He was going to give him a razor's edge onto the announce desk. Truth, though, slipped out, and then Priest ran himself into the ring post when he charged at R-Truth and moved out of the way. Truth hit Priest with a clothesline from the apron. Both men were down at ringside heading into a commercial break. Priest took Truth down with a flatliner, covered him for a near fall. Damian Priest goes up top. R-Truth, though, he falls into the top rope, which causes Priest to crotch himself. Always hate when that happens. Truth then hits some John Cena offense. No joke, I'm not bullshitting you. This got probably the biggest reaction on the show up to this point as far as any of the matches. Any of the actual, I mean, Cody's entrance and stuff, those got, you know, obviously crowd reactions. But as far as the matches, this probably got the biggest reaction of anything on the show up to this point. Because people love R-Truth, and they love seeing R-Truth do John Cena's moves. So, finally, the crowd is reacting to something in a noticeable way here. He hit the five-knuckle shuffle. He followed that up with an attitude adjustment. He got a near fall out of it. People were losing their minds over this near fall. So then Truth applied the STF. Finn Balor and JD McDonagh, they attacked Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa, who had come out during the match to, you know, I guess for some moral support for R-Truth at ringside. So they attacked DIY. Truth went up top, and he dove out onto the pile of wrestlers on the floor. That got chance of holy shit from the crowd, I assume, because USA Network censored the whole thing. And it's one of those annoying things where I would almost rather they just mute the audio for 10 seconds straight. Instead, they mute the audio, they bring the audio back. They mute the audio, they bring the audio back. Sounds awful. Absolutely awful. Just mute the entire fucking thing until they shut up. It's kind of like I was thinking about what they did on SmackDown the week before when they were censoring everything. They almost butchered the entire segment because one person in the crowd, I think it was one person, had a Die Rocky Die sign. And I was thinking, if it really was just that one person in that one spot, would it not have been more prudent to simply blur that person out? Can you not digitally distort or blur that one sign? I mean, you literally butcher the entire segment because of one sign. You can't. I mean, Vince McMahon wanted to put a blue dot over Christian's face. Could you not put a blue dot over the sign? Would that not have been better? I guess it's Fox, though. They don't give a shit, so that would take too much effort. Fox is not going to do that. By the way, how poetic is it? All these years later, right? How many years ago? Was it 15 years? 16 years ago, we heard those stories about Vince McMahon thinking that Christian had a rat face and he wanted to put a blue dot over his face because he was ugly. And now here we are in 2024. Christian Cage is on the other show every week, killing it. TNT champion. Vince McMahon now in the video game getting his face blurred out. Fuck you. Put a blue dot over his face. Funny how the tables have turned now. Anyway, Priest lowered the straps, hit the Salve of Heaven chokeslam, ended up getting the pin on R-Truth. After the match, Priest chokeslammed Ciampa on the apron, and then Balor hit the coup de grace on Johnny Gargano. This turned out to be a fun match. People love R-Truth. They love R-Truth. They hang on to everything this guy does. That's why I think he's going to end up getting the win over Judgment Day at WrestleMania, and he'll pull down at least one set of tag team titles. You know, I was just thinking, we were talking before about the possibility of them splitting the belts by having one team pull down one set, one team pull down the other. It could be that way where R-Truth pulls down, one set. Instead of like one red and one blue, he pulls down both red. And then maybe another team pulls that. He's going to factor into that finish in some way. But I feel like he's going to have a title by the time that match is over at WrestleMania. It's like, you give the fans the payoff they're looking for because they love this man so much. Imagine R-Truth winning a championship. This could be his last one. Winning a, and I don't mean the 24/7 junk belt, like a real belt. Winning a real title again for the first time in many years. I don't know how long ago it was he won the U.S. titles, a long time ago. NWA champion, you got to go back even more, over 20 years. People would pop huge if R-Truth won that belt or one of them at WrestleMania. So then, after a break, they came back and they were showing us photos from UFC 299 this past weekend. Some of the stars that were in attendance at the UFC show. And among the faces that were in the crowd at the UFC show were a couple of familiar faces, including Rhea Ripley and Buddy Matthews. Look at that, big cheesy smiles, having fun at the show. Michael Cole identified Rhea. Pat McAfee said, "With who? She's with who?" And Cole just left him hanging. Just moved on. Would not even acknowledge poor Buddy. Never acknowledge Buddy here, and never acknowledge that Dominic was away with his new bride. You got to keep kayfabe alive, I guess. You got to keep people thinking that Rhea and Dom are together, right? I guess that's where the money is. Can you imagine one day if we get to a point where on television, in the storyline here, Rhea and Dominic are ever in a position where they're teasing a kiss, that they're going to kiss on TV. I think that social media, I think everybody would just have a meltdown. Like the video of that would probably have more views and impressions than anything in the history of this company. Like people would lose their mind. They love those two together. I mean, I do too. I think they were great together. It would be a sin if they ever broke them up. I think they should keep them together in some form for the rest of their career. But, you know, one day that tease is probably going to come. And if they ever do kiss, holy shit, are people going to lose their fucking minds? So you gotta keep kayfabe alive a little bit. I get it. So they also showed at UFC, Logan Paul was in the crowd, and they said that Logan is going to have a major announcement that he's going to make at 11 a.m. Eastern tomorrow on his Impulsive podcast. Now, on Friday, he announced that his Prime Hydration company just signed the biggest sponsorship deal in the history of WWE. And starting with WrestleMania, all of the PLEs going forward are going to have branding. Prime branding, like a giant Prime bottle, the emblem, the logo in the middle of the ring. Hopefully it's not slippery, whatever it's made of, because boy, would that suck if somebody slipped and broke their neck on a bottle of Prime that was tattooed on the canvas. So that's going to be for every PLE going forward, starting at WrestleMania. That was his big announcement on Friday. I don't know what the announcement is tomorrow. Maybe he's finally going to announce that they're going to put the logos on the turnbuckles, too. Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. What I wouldn't give for an extra hour in my day. It would be an extra hour to get some work done, to get some sleep, or get some work done while I sleep. All right, so I guess it doesn't work that way. But a lot of us wish that we had more time in our lives. You know, I woke up this morning and realized it's daylight savings time, and we lost an hour because you spring forward, you fall back. And I said, oh my God, of all the times I can ill afford to lose an hour, we have daylight savings to deal with. A lot of us wish that we had more time in our lives, but we don't. So how do you make use of that time that you do have? You need to know what's most important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you figure out what matters most to you so you can do more of it. Therapy can be helpful to you in a whole lot of different ways. It can teach you important coping skills. It can help you overcome certain insecurities that you may have about yourself. It can help you better understand your own feelings. And that's just a few. Therapy is not just for people who may have experienced a trauma of some sort in their lives, but it can help you there too if you have been through anything like that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's all online. It's designed to be convenient and fit into your schedule, regardless of how busy you may be. All you need to do to get started is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And even better, you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. See? I told you it was convenient. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Solomonster today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Solomonster. Jey Uso was out to the ring next. Came out to a big reaction, had everybody in the crowd bobbing up and down, doing the Jey Uso thing. Pat McAfee's on top of the announce desk. He's doing the Jey Uso thing. He said Jimmy wouldn't let him go. The bloodline wouldn't let him go. He proposed a brother versus brother, twin versus twin, blood versus blood, Jimmy versus Jey match for WrestleMania. And he told Jimmy to accept his challenge so that he can knock the yeet out his ass. And that was it. You know what I love about Jey Uso? He comes out there. He has mastered the art of brevity when it comes to his promos, which I appreciate because you do have promos that will drone on and on sometimes on these shows and you're begging for them to end. You could have a promo with somebody who's saying something that really should take 3 minutes and it takes them 15. Not with Jey Uso. Jey Uso comes out, he says what he has to say, and that's it. This promo here, if it went 2 minutes, I'd be shocked. He came out, he said what needed to be said, he laid out the challenge, and that was it. They played his music, and he yeeted on off. Perfect. Now we wait for Jimmy to accept the challenge. We'll get brother against brother at WrestleMania. They've talked about wanting to do this match for years. They're going to finally have the chance to do so. How good it will end up being, I don't know. We'll see. But this was the obvious match from the moment that Jimmy cost Jey the title at SummerSlam. We knew we were going to get this match. There was no doubt this was going to be the WrestleMania. And the reason they moved Jey to Raw was in part to put some separation between him and Jimmy. Because there's no way you're going to be able to keep things interesting from August until April if you're going to wait until WrestleMania to do the match. So you had to put some distance between them. And in the process, you know, Jey has proven that he's a commodity on his own. Whatever happens at WrestleMania, they may want to reunite the Usos at one point. I mean, they will reunite at some point. But Jimmy has, Jay has proven that he can be a singles guy, right? His merch sells. He comes out. He gets some of the biggest reactions on the show. Like, I never thought I would live in a world, if you would have told me 10 years ago, that Jay Uso would end up being like a main event caliber performer in WWE. But here we are. I always thought it was going to be Jimmy. I always said, you know, when the split eventually happened, Jimmy, because I whatever I saw of him on Total Divas, when I would watch some of those episodes and I would see him, he just had more of a personality than Jay did. He was a funny guy. He was kind of goofy and he was entertaining. I never saw that in Jay. I always thought Jimmy would be the one. And I'm not saying Jimmy is not entertaining. He's been pretty entertaining in some of these segments recently as the goofball of the Bloodline. But Jay, credit to him, man. He has broken out in a way that I never would have expected. Never. Yeah, he is. Someone said he's generally quite shy. He always came off that way to me. He always came, and even today, even now when I see him doing interviews, like off television, whether it's radio, podcast, whatever it may be, he still strikes me as like a very shy person. So good for him though, man. I mean, if anybody has benefited the most from this Bloodline story over the last 3 years, it's Jey Uso. I mean, think about it. Who has benefited the most from this? Roman Reigns was already a top guy. Roman Reigns was going to be a top guy no matter what. He was always going to be pushed at a number one, right? It's Jey Uso. His story started with Roman at the very beginning of this whole thing, the summer of 2020, in the Thunderdome, doing the acting job, right, with no fans in the building. And so we had these little soap operas playing out every single week. Why you gotta do me like that, man? Why you gotta do me like that? You know, I mean, I remember those early days. And even then I was like, shit, I didn't know this guy had it in him. And then you see him now. It's like, hey, good for him, man. Good for him. He's been the biggest beneficiary of this storyline. So then at 10:11 p.m., it was time for the gauntlet. The winner gets Gunther for the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania. Sami Zayn, Chad Gable, Ricochet, Bronson Reed, JD McDonagh, and Shinsuke Nakamura. Ricochet was out first, and then it was to a commercial. When they came back, they announced on TV, they already announced it earlier in the day, but Muhammad Ali has been announced for this year's WWE Hall of Fame class. He is the celebrity inductee. So now we have Paul Heyman, we have Bull Nakano, the U.S. Express, and Muhammad Ali. What a crew. Paul Heyman and Muhammad Ali going into the same Hall of Fame the same year. So far, that is the Hall of Fame class. Honestly, I'm expecting one more name and that's it. I don't think they're gonna go beyond that. So we have Heyman as, I guess, the manager, if you want to say that. I mean, he's more than just the manager, but we have him. We have Bull Nakano as the female inductee, the U.S. Express as the tag team inductee, and we have the celebrity inductee. I don't know what they're doing for the Warrior Award. I kind of look at that as a separate thing. We still really don't have that like true headline, like the male headline inductee that they usually go with. And I'm still thinking that with his father and his uncle going in, if they're going to announce Bray, save him for last and maybe announce him as the sort of headline inductee for this year. Honestly, I think it just comes down to the family. You know, if the family is comfortable with that, it might still be too raw for them. It's still fresh for them. So if not, totally understandable. But when I saw the announcement that his dad and his uncle were going in, that's the first thing I thought. I said, I wonder if they're putting the whole family in and Bray's going to go in this year. So when they came back, though, to the ring, JD McDonagh made his entrance. So I got the starting two right. I talked about this on episode 852 yesterday. I said, if it were me, I'm starting with Ricochet and JD McDonagh. And that's exactly what they did. Ricochet was the victim of an early standing moonsault from McDonagh. He came back, though, with a springboard elbow, and then he went for a lion salt. McDonagh got the knees up, though. And McDonagh hit a brainbuster for a two count. Ricochet followed with a poison Rana, but McDonough came right back with a standing Spanish fly. Both men were down. McDonough threw Ricochet under the ropes, into the ring post, ribs first. And that was really the focus here in this match for McDonough. He was focusing on Ricochet's ribs. McDonough set Ricochet up on the top turnbuckle and chopped him. And he was setting up for a top rope move. Ricochet, though, pushed him off. And then he hit a shooting star press. And he got the pin in about 12 minutes. So, good match here. We're 12 minutes in. Here comes Bronson Reed. Next into the gauntlet. Ricochet dove out onto him at ringside. He did not waste any time. He went right after the big guy. Ricochet sent Reed out on the other. Once he got in the ring, he sent him out on the opposite side of the ring. And then Ricochet caught him with a kick. He went for a springboard move. But Reed caught him. He caught Ricochet, slammed him into the corner, and then power slammed him for a two count. Reed put Ricochet down. He went up top, and he hit the tsunami splash. And that was the end of Ricochet. Pinned him in 2 minutes flat. Flat also being what Ricochet was after taking the tsunami splash. So Sami Zayn was out next. And Michael Cole had a very astute observation. He pointed out that Sami Zayn is Muslim. And that today is the first day of Ramadan. And so he has been fasting all day long. He's not been able to eat, and yet here he is coming not only into a match, but coming into a gauntlet match, which he said would work to his disadvantage. Sammy ducked a clothesline. He tossed Reed to the floor. Sammy followed. He threw some chops at him on the floor and then took a chop, and he took a headbutt. Reed whipped Sammy towards the barricade. Sammy, though, jumped onto the barricade and then came off with a moonsault that took us into commercial. Later on, Reed got Sammy on the top turnbuckle. He was setting up for a move. Sammy countered, though, into a sunset bomb out of the corner, and he got the pin. He got the surprise pin out of the sunset bomb on Bronson Reed. Almost immediately, they played Shinsuke Nakamura's music, and as Nakamura was making his way down the aisle, Bronson Reed, the sore sport that he is, he attacked Sammy from behind and put him down. He went up top. And he crushed him with a tsunami splash. So now Nakamura gets in the ring. And Nakamura is there to pick the bones. And he's setting up for the Kinshasa. Sammy, though, sidesteps him. He rolls him up. I was about to say, if Nakamura came into this match. Now, I've been talking about how he's basically been jobber bait for, you know, Cody and pretty much anybody else. Rollins and Cody lost multiple matches to both of them. Right, he's just a punching bag for the top babyfaces on this brand. And so if he comes into this gauntlet after Sami Zayn has already wrestled a match, and then he just got ambushed and crushed by a 350-plus pound man, and he goes and he gets pinned, there ain't nothing left for this man to do. Because when Sami sidestepped him and rolled him up, I thought for sure we were getting a three count. But he kicked out. And so they ended up outside. Nakamura caught him with a running knee to the head. And Sammy went hurtling onto and then over the announce desk. And that took us into yet another commercial. The one thing about these gauntlet matches is you really feel the commercials. Because when you're going to go 40 minutes, unless you're The Rock, cutting a promo, right? You can't. You know you're going to get constant interruptions here. And so it kind of breaks up the flow of the match. But when you have a match this long, it's to be expected. I mean, that's what happens when you have a long match on TV. You know, if you had an Iron Man match on TV, it would be the same thing. That's why I don't like Iron Man matches on TV. Back in the ring, Nakamura set up for the Kinshasa. Sammy stuffed it. He went for an exploder. Nakamura, though, avoided it. And then moments later, Sammy did catch him with a Huluva kick, and he pinned him. So in the end, Nakamura got pinned anyway. Pretty much proving my point that he continues to be a loser on this show. But hey, he sounds spooky when he cuts those promos with the subtitles. So I guess he's got that going for him. So I got the opening two of this gauntlet correct. And I got the final two of this gauntlet, correct? Because we only had one man left. I thought it was going to be Gable in the role of Sammy, and Sammy would come out last. Instead, they had Sammy first, and then Gable was the last one to enter the gauntlet. And so we got some drama. This is the way it had to be done, because the only logical, realistic options to win were Sami Zayn and Chad Gable. Ricochet was not winning this match. It just wasn't going to happen. And none of the heels were going to WrestleMania to challenge Gunther for the Intercontinental title. So the fact they came, they had these two men, it came down to these two, you still had that unpredictable aspect to it where, okay, I think this guy might win, but you know what? It could go the other way. That's kind of like the Royal Rumble this year. You know, came down to who? Cody Rhodes and CM Punk, which was smart, because Cody and Punk were the two favorites coming into the Royal Rumble. It could have conceivably gone either way. It's the smart way to go. Zayn was down when Gable got in the ring, and look, if Gable wanted to, you know, hit the kill shot or just pin him, he could have done that, but he didn't do that. He didn't do that. Instead, he picked Sammy up. He said, look, I don't want to win the match that way. I want it to be you and me, one-on-one, face-to-face. He's pointing up at the WrestleMania sign. There it is back there. Boom. Pointing at the WrestleMania sign. So Sammy got fired up. Gable hit him with two German suplexes. Gable then caught Sammy in an ankle lock. Sammy got to the ropes. He rolled to the apron. Gable slid under the ropes, and he reapplied the ankle lock. And Sammy kicked Gable backwards into the ring steps. The back of his head smacked the ring steps. And he is just sitting there up against the steps, basically out. And we went to commercial. Gable, though, after the commercial, he went to the ropes. Sammy cut him off. Sammy went for a suplex. Gable stuffed it, knocked Sammy to the mat. And then he attempted a moonsault. Sammy got the knees up, though. Hooked Gable into a pin for a near fall. Gable came back with an ankle lock. Sammy got the ropes. Gable reapplied. Sammy got to the ropes, but Gable pulled him back to the center of the ring, and Sammy was teasing that he might tap out here. And then he stood up, and Gable released the hold. Once Sammy stood up, he was hobbling on one leg. He let go of the hold, and he executed a German suplex with the leg capture. So Gable went for a top rope moonsault, but he went splat. When Sammy rolled out of the way, Sammy was limping as he connected with the Huluva kick. Gable was down. Sammy, though, could not cover him right away. He was slow. Eventually, he crawled over to make the cover. He only got a two count. And then, as soon as Gable kicked out or got the shoulder up, he hooked Sammy, like crucifixed him over into a pin. That was a great near fall. I thought he had him there. They got me on that one. I thought he had him there. So both guys got to their knees. Gable grabbed Zayn from behind. Zayn elbowed him, and Gable blasted him with forearm shots to the head. Gable, who was bleeding from the mouth at this point, he lowered the straps on his singlet. He delivered a suplex into a bridge for a two count. Gable applied the ankle lock again, and Sammy this time countered into a pin, and he got the three count again. This was the closing image of the match. If you really look closely, you look at both of those shoulders, especially his right shoulder. Now, the referee doesn't have a good view of it. He can't see it. His shoulders are not on the mat. So technically, he didn't pin this guy. I actually don't think they're going to use this, though, as part of the story to get Gable into the match and make it a triple threat at WrestleMania. But if they wanted to, they could. I just don't think that's the direction they're going to go in. I like Sammy. I do, but just a deflating finish. Good gauntlet. It got really good once it came down to the final two. Went 40 minutes in total. And Sami Zayn is going to WrestleMania to challenge Gunther, who walked out on stage with his title. Gable pulls Zayn to his feet. He's very upset. Talking to the referee, he couldn't believe it. He's got the blood, you know, in his mouth. And he pulls Sammy to his feet. And I wasn't sure if Gable was going to go all Bob Backlund on us here. right? Think back to Bob Backlund and Bret Hart, 94, when Backlund snapped, put him in the chicken wing. I wasn't sure. For a moment, I thought we might have a Backlund moment here, but Sammy gave him a hug, and that was that. As I said before, there was a story with Gable that was kind of put away in the attic for 5 months. And then Triple H decided to climb up into the attic and go looking for it, and he found it. It was in a box that he tucked away in the corner of the attic. And he pulled out the story, and he blew the dust off of it, and he decided to bring it back over the last couple of weeks. And in doing that, they at least tried to convince the viewer, they tried to convince you and me, that this man actually had a chance. Because don't forget, right, what happened the last time and his daughter, and they wanted to remind you of that to make you think that Chad Gable actually had a shot, when in reality, clearly, he never did. I was rooting for him. In my head, Sami Zayn, I figured, was going to get it, because they don't tell that story with Sami Zayn unless they have a plan for him at WrestleMania. Sami is the one, not Gable, who has been getting these promos now for a month, talking about the fact that, I know I can be a contender. I know I can be a champion. I want to go to WrestleMania and make history. There's nothing else he can do to make history at WrestleMania other than, at this point, wrestling Gunther and trying to be the man to beat him. And his story, because he's a bigger star, he's a bigger name on this show than Chad Gable is. They have more equity in him than they do Chad Gable. It was going to be Sammy, but I was holding out hope it might go in a different direction. Sami Zayn against Gunther is going to be an excellent match. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's going to be fantastic. But I thought, as I said yesterday on the podcast, and I still think, Sami Zayn would have made for a much better opponent for Gunther at next year's WrestleMania, challenging him for the World Heavyweight Championship. Especially if, let's say, they don't have anybody beat him for the IC, if he just gives it up, which I think would be lame. But let's say they don't want to beat him until he wins the world title. They get the belt off of him, he relinquishes it, he goes on to win the World Heavyweight title at SummerSlam or Bash in Berlin or one of these shows later in the year. And we're heading into WrestleMania 41 next year, which is increasingly sounding like it's going to be in Minneapolis. And Sami Zayn challenges Gunther for the World Heavyweight title. Now he's going for a championship that he's never held before. He's never been a world champion on the main roster. That, to me, is the more compelling story. That's where the match really works. Sammy's been the Intercontinental Champion before. Yeah, he makes history if he beats Gunther, but, you know, it's kind of like been there, done that. He's already won that title before. I think 3 times. Actually, he won the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania, I think, at 36, if I remember correctly. I think it was in the empty warehouse. Unless he was already the champion, he retained it. I thought he won the title there. So I just thought that would be the better match to do next year. You know, you hold off until then. This, to me, watching this tonight, it felt like Gable's last chance. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm pretty much resigned at this point that it was nice while it lasted, and that was pretty much it for Chad Gable. As far as him being the one to topple Gunther, I don't think Sammy beats him either at WrestleMania, and it's not likely that Gable is going to anytime soon either. I guess his little girl will have to grow up with the understanding that her father is a loser. And I suppose that's a good lesson for her. You know, when you're young in life, you learn a lot of life lessons along the way. And so maybe it's not such a bad idea for her to learn that lesson now at a young age, that sometimes stories don't have a happy ending. And that seems to be the case here. These matches have been announced for Raw next week. They're going to be in Raleigh, North Carolina. Is it Raleigh or Raleigh? Say Raleigh. Raleigh, North Carolina. It's going to be New Day taking on Otis and Tozawa. That's going to be a qualifier for the tag team title ladder match at WrestleMania. We're getting a few of them, actually. DIY takes on the Creed Brothers. And we also have R-Truth and The Miz taking on Indus Share. So Veer has come back to Raw next week. And we have Becky Lynch taking on Nia Jax in a last woman standing match. How would you rate Raw from Houston, Texas? 48.5% of you give this show 4 stars, 31% 3 stars, 8% 2 stars, and 11% give this show 1 star. So we are under the 50% mark for 4 stars this week, which is not great. But you could look at it a different way and say that between the 3 and 4 star ratings, this show got close to 80% tonight. So close to 80% thumbs up, which is very, very good. Let's take a look at your super chats. Big business. Somebody said big business. We got big business coming up on Wednesday. Tonight was not big business. Tonight was just business. Actually, they did big business tonight. They sold out again. AEW is not sold out in Boston. Doesn't look like they're going to. But they got a pretty loaded lineup for Wednesday as well. Let's take a look here at Jerome. Jerome Eugenio, next week, Veer is coming again. Well, he had to reload, I guess. So. Takes a while. So he is going to reload, and he is going to come next week on Raw. There you go. Prince Vegeta 95. In 1994... would Razor Ramon be a better babyface to lead into 1995 than Diesel? And would you still have Backlund drop the belt 2 days later, or would you have heel Backlund drop the belt at WrestleMania 11? I would have definitely given Backlund some time with that belt, and I probably would have had him drop it at WrestleMania. As far as Razor over Diesel, I like Razor. I would have been fine with that. I know why Vince went with Diesel, because Diesel was 7 feet. Scott Hall was no small man, though. You know, Scott Hall was a pretty big dude, but he wasn't as big as Diesel. That's why they went with him. I think it could have worked, though. I think so. Tay-Tay the Savior. Solomonster, I wanted Chad Gable to win and finish his story with Gunther, but Sami Zayn won, so I am okay with Gunther and Sami. Matt should be a banger. Oh, it'll be very good. It'll be very good. Alex says, Brother Solo, I love Cody, but do you think excess emotion in his promos enhances or hinders the overall message he's trying to convey through his promos? I don't want people to start calling him soft. I mean, he's talking about his parents. You know, his father passed away. His dream was to win the belt and hand it to his dad. He can't do that. So he's going to hand it to his mom instead. It doesn't bother me. I don't want him to get all mushy-mushy in every promo that he does. You know, I mean, there is a point where it's like, all right, enough already. If he's out there crying on television every week, it's ridiculous. But him getting a little emotional in a promo, I think is fine. As long as you don't do it in excess, then you won't get a reputation for being soft. But getting emotional in a promo, you know, here and there, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. It's real. Right? He's a real person. You want it to come off as authentic. You had so many people who act like bots and machines and stuff. It's okay to show actual human emotion sometimes. Orhan says, Drew is the best overall WWE performer in 2024. What are your thoughts? Dude, we're not even 3 months into the year yet. We're not even a full 3 months in. But I would agree. I think that's a fair comment. So far, I think so. Barry MK says 2K24 is not the best game ever, but it's fun and better than last year. Also, SmackDown Here Comes the Pain is the best game ever. Aaron with the $20. Gable versus Gunther is dead. Waste of a story. Feels that way. Feels like a waste. Be calm, see clearly. That's very kind of you. Thank you very much. Thank you, BCOM C. Clearly. That's very nice of you to say. Alex says, what is your all-time favorite unscripted promo in any wrestling promotion? Probably Bret Hart shoving Vince McMahon on his ass and just being given a live mic to rant and rave. How unscripted it was, I don't know. I mean, he hit his key points to hit. I don't know how scripted the actual promo was. I'm partial to that because it just, I remember being shocked when he shoved Vince down. Because that's just something you didn't see back then. I'll never forget when he did that too, because they were deconstructing the steel cage as Vince got into the ring to interview him after he just lost. And there's two guys sitting in the front, I'll never forget it, there's two guys sitting in the front row. And as the interview is about to begin and Vince asks his question, they go to sit down. And when they went to sit down, they kind of looked down at their seats. They didn't actually see Bret shove him down, but they heard the bump and the crowd react. And they looked up and they immediately, like they sat down, they immediately got right back up. Like as soon as they, it's like the Grandpa Simpson meme where he walks in and he walks right out. They sat down, they stood right back up. And then Bret went on his rant talking about how frustrated he was. Paul Carpenter, it's okay, or it's got to be R-Truth that gets the tag titles down because he's afraid of ladders. He's going to conquer his fear at WrestleMania. You know, I forgot about that. He is afraid of ladders. See, face your fears. Gotta be like R-Truth and face your fears. Chris, pretty miffed about the finish tonight. For all the good he's done, Triple H hasn't really elevated any new faces other than LA Knight, Tiffany, and Santos. Had a chance tonight, and for my money, went safe. Do you agree? I think it would have been the better story, and it would have been the better choice. And it could have elevated Gable to a position that I've been waiting for him to be in for a very long time. I think he could be, you know, he could be that guy if he cuts down on the goofiness and he goes in there and he's, you know, he's a machine. That would be a great role, I think, for him to be in. And I think it could work. And he had a chance tonight to really send him on his way. You give Gable that moment at WrestleMania, you would have had the crowd invested in that match. And not that they won't be in Sammy's, you know, voyage to try to win the championship and be the one to beat Gunther, but Gable was the better choice. I think it was a swing and a miss. Zay97, the only household names in wrestling at the moment are Rock, CM Punk, Logan, Ray, Randy, Brock, Jeff Hardy, and maybe Y2J. Who else makes the list? Big Show. You just named a whole bunch of names, by the way. Like, I don't know if you're saying that as a bad thing, but that's actually a pretty sizable group, if you consider those to be household names. You know, sometimes, you know, in wrestling, you get one or two. I don't know that I would call Rey Mysterio a household name. See, I don't consider, like, I'm very selective. When somebody uses a term like that, to me, Rey Mysterio is not a household name. Randy Orton is not a household name. Logan Paul, questionable, but he's got that celebrity from outside of wrestling as well. And the Paul brothers, I would consider them to be household names. So Logan, I'll give you. Punk, maybe. Rock, definitely. Brock, yes. Jeff Hardy, no. Chris Jericho, no. I don't. Punk, yeah, I'm probably being generous when I say maybe to Punk. Like, I don't think people, when they throw that term around, realize what it means. Like, when you say household name, Hulk Hogan was a household name. Andre the Giant was a household name. The Rock is a household name. Stone Cold Steve Austin, when he was at his peak, was a household name. Some of these names you have on the list, Big Show. Big Show is not a household name. Big Show, and again, like Randy Orton, big star in wrestling, household name, not close, not even close. John Cena, household name. John Cena with the Hollywood stuff he's done. He was just at the Oscars the other night. I don't know what the fuck he was doing, but he was at the Oscars. John Cena, yeah, I'll put him on that list too. But again, if you think that Rey Mysterio is a household name, you are in the wrestling bubble. You're living in a bubble. Everyone in wrestling knows who Rey Mysterio is. Absolutely. If you go to the average person on the street and ask them who Rey Mysterio is, unless they're a wrestling fan, they ain't going to have a fucking clue what you're talking
about.
Samoa
bro.
Not a clue. So you got to be careful when you throw that term around. Daz Rinko. My daughter listens to the podcast with me when I pick her up from her mother's. Thank you, Solo. No more Baby Shark on repeat. I've saved you from Baby Shark. Well, isn't there another one, though? My friend has a little girl, and there's like, I forgot what the current one is, like this current, like, craze. It's this thing she watches all the time. And I forgot what it is, but whether it's that or Baby Shark, if I've saved you, you're very welcome. Because that would drive me nuts. I feel like that would drive me absolutely insane. Nick Grosso. I'm shocked. Like, I'm looking at some of the comments in the chat. I'm shocked that people are shocked that I said that Rey Mysterio is not a household name. Like, if you live in Mexico, yes, he might be a household name. But just on the street here in the U.S., if you go to a random person and ask them who Rey Mysterio is, I mean, if you think that they're going to know who Rey Mysterio is, you are in a bubble. Like, that's just the way it is. You are in the wrestling bubble. I don't know what else to tell you. It'd be like an AEW fan saying, well, Kenny Omega is a household name. No, he's not. The Young Bucks are a household name. No, they're not. Are you mad? Have you lost your mind? You people crack me up sometimes. You really do. Nick Grosso. Who do you think will induct Muhammad Ali into the Hall of Fame, and who do you think will be the headliner? I say either Bray Wyatt or Batista. I think Bray is going to be that guy. As far as who inducts Ali, it could be anybody. I think it'd probably be a current talent. I don't think it's going to be anybody necessarily connected to the first WrestleMania that he appeared at. Anybody he would have worked with in wrestling prior to WrestleMania. You know, the angle with Gorilla Monsoon, the stuff he did with Fred Blassie, they're all dead. So it's not going to be any of them. I don't know. It could be anybody. Orhan, WWE Wrestler of the Decade from 2000 to 2009. 2000 to 2009. Undertaker would have to be in that conversation, I would say. Shawn Michaels has to be in that conversation. You just look at their body of work, you know, during that period and their WrestleMania matches. You know, you could say Cena or Batista, but they didn't really come along, you know, in a top role until 2005. So you're eliminating half the decade if you want to go the John Cena route. I wouldn't go with them. Joey Jojo Jr. R-Truth should win Priest Money in the Bank and cash in on Cody at the end of WrestleMania. Huge pop guaranteed. This is why, when Adam Pearce said that he was consulting some fans on social media about what he should do and how he should book this tag team title situation at WrestleMania, this is why I shook my head and said no. No, you should not do that. Come on, Joey. Barry MK, Rhea has kissed Dom before on the cheek on Vince. I'm not talking about on cheek. I'm not talking about a peck on the cheek, that, like you kissed your grandmother. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about on the lips. I'm talking about like swamp and spit. I'm talking about the whole thing. Like that's what would make people's heads explode. A little peck on the cheek. I mean, what is that? That's nothing. Go Ace. Thank you for the super chat. Trey Marquis. What's going on, Trey? Thank you for the 10. Solo, hope all is well. I was thinking about how WWE has done a terrible job with Shayna Baszler. So I have to ask, is Shayna damaged goods? If not, how would you revive her character? I don't think there's much you can do. You know, she had that killer run in NXT. We're so far removed from that now. She got a little bit of a revived push when she beat Ronda Rousey. And she was getting cheers. And I told you when that was happening. And she was coming out and cutting promos on Ronda. And they were feuding going into SummerSlam last year. I told you. Enjoy it now if you're a Shayna fan. Because they're cheering her now. But they're not cheering her because they're in love with Shayna Baszler. They're cheering her because they hated Ronda Rousey. And as soon as Ronda is gone, so too will be the Shayna Baszler push. And that's exactly what happened. I don't think you're going to see her going much higher than she is right now. I think that's pretty much the level where she's going to be at. I don't think there's much else you can do. Become see clearly. I feel like Sting helped Darby to see himself as a world champion. And I believe one day if he is still alive, Jesus, he grabs one. He has so much potential. I don't mean to laugh, but it's kind of sad how we have to kind of, you know, couch our comments and opinions in that way, because the man himself was on television last week basically giving a goodbye speech. Like, he may not return from this mountain. Like, he could very well, like, it could be a tragic ending for this man. So we can't even say, like, well, what's Darby going to do when he gets back? How's Tony Khan going to book him? Is he going to ever be a world champion in AEW? If he survives, yes. If he lives, yes. But we have to qualify that before we actually give our opinion about what we think. It's sad. I hope he knows what he's doing. He's not exactly the best. He hasn't always used the best judgment, as we saw at Revolution. So I'm a little worried about that. So Drew disagrees that Rey is not a household name. Drew, I'm telling you, in Mexico, absolutely a household name. In this country, Rey Mysterio is not a household name. I don't care if he has a mask on or not. You, if you're a household name, you have to be a star or a celebrity at a certain level. As popular as he is in wrestling, as popular as he is in Lucha Libre, as popular as he is in WWE, he is not a household name. He's not. The PW Hustle. GWO's Brad said no one can touch him in promos. Well, yes, we had somebody who donated on the main podcast who has started his wrestling training. And he has started taking back bumps. And Brandon is already of the opinion that he can cut a better promo than anybody else in his class. But Mr. Hustle over here says, challenge accepted, because I can't be beat in these mean streets. The guy just got into wrestling. He's still training, and you're already challenging him. You're challenging the rookie. Jeremy Watley. Hey, Solo, I have no problem with wrestling using real-life tragedy to get heat, but the setup for Maxine's angle was off to me. I can't explain it. No, it's because it was forced. That's why. That's why you feel that way, because you're right. It was forced. It was very unnatural. It felt like Candace was trying too hard. It's like they told her 5 minutes before she was going out to the ring, go out there and be mean to her and bring up her dead brother. And it was stupid. You know, there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it, and that just didn't work. It was a miss. This journey called life. Why does WWE do this to us? I was mad earlier about Gable losing, but it seems as this is what they like to do. Make a compelling story only to half-ass it. I don't know, man. I wish I knew. Brandon Proctor. Sucks that Gable lost, but Zayn and Gunther is going to be incredible. I wish I was still going this year, but there's always next year. Chris Auditor says, I'm holding out hope that Gable beats Gunther at SummerSlam and wins the Intercontinental title to a big ovation. Yeah, I don't see it. I've all but given hope on it now. Hoffenheim. Only one guy can finish his story, and it's Cody and not Gable. I don't know. You got a fair number of people here who still think that Cody is not winning at WrestleMania. Boy, you think that Gable losing tonight was deflating and the wrong decision. Beating Cody and making him look like a dweeb 2 years in a row? The Gable thing would pale in comparison to that. Mystic J 44, I would have figured if Gable lost tonight, he would have at least still have the tag team ladder match, but I guess he's got nothing now. Yeah, no, he's got nothing. He'll be in the Andre Battle Royal on SmackDown the night before he'll be dumped out by Bronson Reed. And that'll be the end of that. The Juliet says gobsmacked that Ali was not in the WWE Hall of Fame sooner. I am too, honestly, that they didn't put him in while he was still alive, because I think he would have been tickled pink to go into the Hall of Fame. You know, he was a wrestling fan. So I was kind of surprised, too, that he didn't go in before this. Cyndi Lauper, I have to assume at this point that she just doesn't want to go in. I don't really have any other explanation for it. Without her and without Mr. T, that first WrestleMania is not the success that it turns out to be. Like, she is a very big part of that company's history and absolutely should be in that Hall of Fame. Oh my goodness, Mr. Mishra, Shubham Mishra with the $6 super chat. Amid the online Coliseum where fandoms unite, the Sala Monster stands tall, IWC's guiding light. Wow. It's very poetic. Thank you. That's very nice. That's very nice. Zachariah. Not quite as poetic, but Zachariah, I love you, brother. He says, with a new group owning WWE, new regime, and most importantly, Vince and his goons gone for good, could that be enough to convince Martha to allow Owen to be inducted into the Hall of Fame? I've gotten this question a couple of times recently. No. No. I don't believe she wants anything to do with this company. So, no. I don't think that's going to change. And I think she's very happy working with Tony Khan and AEW. I think they've been very respectful of her and her family, and I think they're very happy with that arrangement, and I think that will be her connection to pro wrestling. I don't think that's going to change. By the way, you know, we say that Vince is gone from WWE. You know, part of the reason why this woman does not want to work for that company is she's not interested in making any of the McMahons, let alone Vince, any money. Vince may be selling off shares of stock. Okay, he pocketed $400 million last week from a stock sale. He still owns over 8% of this new company. So he's still making money off WWE. He's not completely gone in that respect. So she's not going to want to work with this company. And you know what? I don't blame her. That's her decision. I respect her decision. Aaron with another 20. Aaron, thank you. Where does Gable go from here? I'm so disappointed his moment is gone. He goes to the back of the line. That's where he goes. I don't know where he goes from here. I mean, they could take this and they could turn him heel. I mean, I Yeah, I mean, you could turn him heel, I guess, but you kill the story if you do that. You know, the whole point was the story and the family tie. If you turn him heel and just take him in a totally different direction, you're killing a perfectly good story for no reason. But I guess they kind of did that already tonight anyway, so I guess it doesn't matter. BCOM C clearly, is Dave Bautista a household name? You know what? I would say that's a tough one because he's been in a lot of movies. Like those Guardians of the Galaxy movies were huge. And I feel like that's really where people would have been exposed to him for the first time. And since then, he's been in a lot of different things. He's been in some serious movies. He did more Guardians movies. I think there were three of them. I would say yes. I think he is. I think to a degree, yes. You could say that Dave Bautista is a household name. Look, when you are... Yeah, I mean, somebody mentioned Marvel. When you're doing Marvel stuff, like... You become a household name pretty quick when you're involved in those movies. Go Ace. Says, okay, timeout. Ray definitely household even though he stinks. No, he's not. Retro KOH says, D-Billions is worse than Baby Shark. I gotta play that crap for my younger students sometimes. D-Billions? What is that? I don't even know what that is. D-Billions? That's not what I was thinking of, by the way. I wish I could remember what it is. It's something on YouTube. Oh, God, what the hell is it called? His daughter watches it constantly. It's on YouTube. I'm amazed, by the way, because you go on YouTube, and they have these channels that are devoted to like kids shows. So these kids are growing up now and they have all these YouTube personalities that they watch. These videos, it's insane. Like these videos get hundreds of millions of views. And I am convinced that the reason they get hundreds of millions of views, like 500 million views, okay, for one video, is because you have these kids, these little kids that don't know what they're doing. And they're sitting there and they're just going like this. And they're constantly clicking on the videos and opening and reopening the videos. And that's how you get 500 million views for a fucking video. Why don't you send some of those kids over to my videos? That's my project for all of you. If you have little kids, put your little tablet in front of them. Put the sound off page on there and just let them push. Let them click away. It'll do me some good. It's unbelievable. Chris Mikesell, could you see Kane as world champion in 2003? If so, how long would you make his run go for? And who would you like the feuds to be with? I don't even remember everybody on the roster at that point. But yeah, Monster Kane, who they had to let out of the back of the paddy wagon, chained up with the towel over his head. You could have put the world title on him, absolutely. Give him a monster run one last time. Who I would have feuded him with, I don't know. I have no idea. I have to go back in the mindset now of 2003. I mean, you had Brock, right? But Brock would have been somebody who would have beaten him for the belt at the end. He would need people to feud with in the meantime. So you could do him and Shawn Michaels. You could do him and... trying to think who the other baby faces were back then. I don't even remember. Jericho? I mean, they already feuded before over coffee. I guess you could have feuded him with Jericho. Maybe. Boney. Between ECW and Ring of Honor, which had the bigger influence on the wrestling industry? ECW. ECW had a little bit of Ring of Honor to it, but it was mixed in with the extreme stuff. And the extreme stuff alone is something that has just infected wrestling. Every promotion has been untouched by it to this day. Everything we see with tables and tacks and ladders and barbed wire. Is it possible we would have ended up there without ECW? It's possible. But the ECW influence is still felt to this day. And it's been how long? 25 years? Ring of Honor really was an outgrowth of ECW. There's a lot of great wrestling in ECW. A lot of smaller wrestlers were promoted heavily by Paul Heyman in ECW at a time when bigger guys were still really being pushed by the main companies. And again, you still feel that to this day, but I feel like in order for Ring of Honor to run, ECW first had to walk. That came first, and still to this day has an influence over what we see on wrestling television. Brandon Vasquez, Austin, Hogan, Rock, Undertaker, Ric Flair, Andre the Giant. Those are household names. There are levels to this. Undertaker is not a household name. I said it. Hogan, I agree with almost everybody else on this list. Austin, Hogan, Rock. Flair, I'll give you Flair. Andre. Undertaker, you're pushing it. You're pushing it with the Undertaker. Is Shawn Michaels a household name? No. You know who else isn't a household name? Bret Hart. And that's coming from me. Not a household name. Zay97. Does Dom get a Mania match? And with who? Plus, any random person on the street would know the name Rey Mysterio. Somebody do a social experiment. Yeah. Please do. Please do. Jace says, there's a chance that WWE will go back to Gable. There's always a thing called adversity. It doesn't always have to be at WrestleMania. Sure. We'll see. I'm not going to hold my breath. Ishmael, rest in peace. Eric Carmen. He sang Hungry Eyes and All By Myself. Hungry Eyes, a great song. Always think of Dirty Dancing. And the Winston slip. My four-year-old hit me with the tsunami splash today. Hashtag ow. Well, tell your four-year-old to go on YouTube and start watching Solomonster videos. I'm telling you, I want all these kids. I want you to just open the main page. There you go. Or the videos tab on the Sound Off channel. And let them click away. There you go. Even if they leave comments, it can't be any worse than half the comments I already get from grown adults. Let me go back and check and make sure we include all of the early Super Chats that came in, because you guys hit me with a bunch, and some of the early ones did not come through, so I'm going to hit you with them now. No man left behind, no man or woman left behind on this channel. Still don't know why they're not showing up on that other list, but in any event. Tommy Colella, thank you for the 10, if Tommy is still with us. Thank you, Tommy. This came in earlier. Tommy says, you said you don't remember seeing the Natural Disasters winning the tag team titles. I posted on your page the clip. Thank you for all that you do. 2 months since mom passed, this is a pain I never experienced. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. It's a pain that everybody has to go through, unfortunately. Some sooner than others. It sucks. So I'm sorry to hear that. But yes, I did see the clip. Actually, a couple of people emailed me after I made the comment in my Dark Side of the Ring review, which if you didn't hear it, I got some really positive feedback on it, which I appreciate. I hope you guys enjoyed it. It's going to be hitting the YouTube channel tomorrow. But it's up right now on episode 852. But I mentioned that I don't ever remember seeing footage of the natural disasters winning the tag team titles from Money Inc. Because it happened at a house show. It didn't air on TV. So somebody linked me to the video because it did appear on one of the Coliseum video releases. There's one called it's called Grudges, Gripes, and Grunts. And it's funny because the commentary includes Jim Ross. Now, Jim Ross was not in WWE in 1992 when the title change happened. He came in 93, but the video came out in 93. So they had him do the commentary dub for the match. So I know that threw some people off. So I finally saw it. It's amazing when I get to see stuff like that that I've never seen before. And not that it was a great match or anything, but what's great about the finish is that Tenta gets the win for his team. And he just has the biggest, like, smile on his face. Like, he looks legitimately, like, on cloud nine, you know, that he won his first title in this company. So it was a great moment. But yes, I finally did get to see that footage. Samoan fan, why was John Cena naked at the Oscars? I assume that it was because he has that movie Ricky Stenicki that either is coming out or it just came out, and there's a lot of really raunchy shit in that movie. I know he opened an OnlyFans page. That's also part of the promotion for the new movie. So I believe it's tied into the new movie. And for the record, he was not naked. He was not naked. There was a whole New York Post article with a picture in there. He had like a flesh-colored, thong or whatever it was, but he was not naked. So for those interested in that, he was not actually naked. Dan, was Candace talking about Max Dupri? No. You know, I hadn't even thought about that. But no. Unfortunately, she had a brother who passed away a number of years ago. Max Dupri is dead, though. And hopefully Max Dupri will stay that way. Base Beerus says, Ripley literally has larger arms than JD and Finn. She probably has larger arms than most of the people that are on this stream right now, myself included. So she's in better shape than most. Jackie Fowler, Jacqueline, thank you very much. Jacqueline says, I have a feeling once Cody finishes the story after the Pyro celebration, he's going to get a rock bottom. And then Damian Priest cashes in and wins the title, giving Cody the Naito at Wrestle Kingdom 14 treatment. Well, at least he will have finished the story. And we won't have to hear about the story anymore. See, it's a win-win. That's why I said everybody should be rooting for the story to finally be finished. Because you're either a Cody fan or you're not. Either way, the story gets finished. You don't have to hear about it anymore. I don't know why everybody is not rooting for this. Oh, we have Lakers Pats Y2J Okada feud going to hit like 90s crack. The Painmaker and the Rainmaker, it's only a matter of time. You know, Jericho's already licking his chops waiting for that feud. Ishmael says, rest in peace to Eric Carmen. We mentioned that already. Lady Fire Panda coming in. Fire Panda says, what is your favorite glass shatters moment? Mine would be when Austin helped Mankind to win his first title and when the old Stone Cold came back to fight the Alliance. Oh, he's talking, he's walking. That's right. Remember that call by Jim Ross? It's easily the night that he came out to help Mankind win the belt. The biggest crowd reaction, crowd pop that I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, as far as, like, an instant pop, like an instant reaction, it doesn't get any bigger than that. If I had to pick a second Austin one, though, when he came out at Backlash in 2000, which was his first time after the spinal fusion surgery, he came out, he mowed down six people with a steel chair, or five people, whatever it was. Well, let's see, it was Patterson, Briscoe, Shane, Vince, and Triple H. So yeah, five people. And from the moment he came out until the moment the match ended and the referee counted three, it was this one sustained pop. I don't even know if you can call it a pop at that point because it went on for like 2.5 minutes. It was like just a loud, just stretch of noise that did not end. It was incredible. But the old Stone Cold coming out, marching down to the ring with the BMF walk, I mean, that's got to be top three. Yep, when he came back in Montreal. No Way Out, 2003, to wrestle Eric Bischoff. The first match he had after he walked out on the company. Got a huge reaction that night. This is Stone Cold, man. They call it the Stone Cold Pop. You know, back in the 80s, it was the Road Warrior Pop. The Road Warrior Pop was surpassed by the Stone Cold Pop. And to this day, there is nobody. There is nobody that gets the kind of pop or reaction that Steve Austin got. Nobody. Nobody. There are people that have come along that have gotten tremendous reactions. Rock. Rock comes out, gets tremendous reactions. John Cena has come back a few times and got really big reactions. CM Punk, right? Great reactions. It's only one Stone Cold. There ain't nobody else. The real CS. I think it's sad that some people are using Ms. Grant's lawsuit against WWE and Vince to get Triple H fired. They don't care what that poor woman went through. There's a lot of people who have been spreading all kinds of theories online from the day that that thing was filed. And the fact is, we don't know. And neither do they. Chris says, how come Kevin Nash wasn't wrestling at WrestleMania 18? Could they have done a handicap match? Double stunner on the NWO. Guess Nash did not want a can of whoop-ass. There's actually a very good reason why Nash didn't wrestle. It's because they didn't know if Scott Hall was going to be reliable enough to wrestle that night. You know, he was still on, super secret probation, in a way. And so they figured, well, if there's an issue with Hall and we need a match for Austin, we can always slot Nash in there. That's really what it was. He got paid either way. The real CS, Triple H is a coward. Gable should have won. Hope we get a triple threat. I don't see that happening. Unfortunately. The Winston slip. Brett is a Canadian hero. He was on The Simpsons. Oh, look, it's like Rey, right? Rey Mysterio in Mexico would be a household name. Bret Hart in Canada, household name. Bret Hart in the United States, not a household name. This journey called life. Sala Monster is for the children. That's right. Only if they go to my channel. Otherwise, fuck the kids. Samoan fan says, Sala Monster wants kids. Someone call CPS. And Navy 4181, did you ever collect King Keshi / muscle wrestling figures in the 80s? These were small flesh-colored figures. I think there was an NES game as well. You know, I think I didn't collect them. But I think I did have them. You know what else I had? They used to sell thumb wrestlers. Literally, you would stick your thumb up their ass, and you would have thumb wrestlers. And I didn't keep any of them. I had a whole bunch of them. I didn't keep them. I don't know who made them. But that used to be the big thing. But King Keshi, Muscle, I don't know what they were called. I don't know what brand they were, but I think I may have had some of them, yes. Goal for Be the Booker tonight. What was the goal? The goal was 400, right? Well, we're closing in on 600, which is pretty cool. So keep hitting that thumbs up. Get your kids to hit that thumbs up as well. And let's be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
There it is. Gable and Gunther. Enjoy that image. It may be the last time you ever get to see it. Sadly. Sadly, very deflating, very disappointing. Well, let's hope we don't have a disappointing night and be the booker. We got to have a good night. And how about this? This could be the scene at WrestleMania 40. We could very well have Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa holding up belts that don't look nearly as good as these do, but holding up belts at the end of that ladder match. We begin with DIY. Good way to kick things off. DIY going to be taking on who? DIY going to be taking on Tyler Breeze and Fandango. Trying to book a pay-per-view caliber show here. I'm not trying to book an episode of Sunday Night Heat. Okay? This is ridiculous. So, come on. We can do better than this. We can do better than this. I don't want buzzers. I want bells. Come on. Women's be the booker. Let's go. Let's go. Oh, for Christ's sake. Oh, my God. This again. Nikki Ash. Nikki, almost a superhero. I almost give a shit. But not enough to actually give this a bell. I hated this gimmick. I hate this gimmick with a passion. I don't even know why. I just hate this gimmick. I don't hate her. Crazy Nikki Cross was actually pretty entertaining, but this is not it. This is not it. And you know what? Since I'm the booker, I'm booking a new match. We're gonna try again. If we land on her again, though, that's it. We're done. It's over. It's it. I'm sending her home. I'm refunding her plane ticket, and we're booking a new match here. That's how this is going to work. All right, we begin now. Okay, all right. We're back on track now. Mariah May, who has been doing great in AEW so far. I'm enjoying the character anyway. You know, right now she's dressing up like Toni Storm, and she's obviously very deferential to her, and she's like geeking out like a big super fan, but you know anything about the movie All About Eve, you know that that is not going to last that much longer. And soon enough, we will be able to see the real Mariah May. But hello to her. All right. Let's see who she's going to be getting in the ring with. That's right, Nikki. You know what? T. Rivera makes a great point. I don't need to refund Nikki's airfare. She can fly home if she's a superhero. She doesn't need a plane ticket. All right, Mariah May going to go one-on-one with Wendi Richter. Former women's champion. Actually perfect here for WrestleMania season. They're inducting all these people from the first WrestleMania. The U.S. Express, Muhammad Ali. Here's a woman who was part of the first WrestleMania. She was a big part of the rock and wrestling era. I had her on my bed sheets. Let me explain. So I used to have the Hulk Hogan rock and wrestling cartoon bed sheets when I was a kid. And if I remember correctly, she had a character on the show. And so I believe she was on the bed sheets. Not that I had went, well, whatever. Anyway, so we had a bell. So that's good. All right, let's move on. Let's go to Men's Be the Booker. Right, Wendi is the OG, also part of the OG screw job in WWE. Before Montreal, there was the Spider Lady incident, which I've talked about before. Okay, here we go. We begin with Big E, former WWE champion, Big E. I'm very happy he was able to get that run before the injury. So we got Big E here. All right. Okay. Let's see how this is going to end. Drum roll, please. Big E, one-on-one with Logan Paul. Big E and Logan Paul. Logan Paul has impressed me from the moment he had that first match at WrestleMania to almost every other match that he's had, honestly. I can't say very many bad things about him in the ring. So he and Big E could have a pretty fun match. I agree. I think that actually I think would be a great match. So we went 2 for 3 tonight. How about that? Not bad. Not perfect, but not bad. Retro KOH says, quote, I had her on my bed sheets. You'll be able to put that on my tombstone. How about that? Prince Vegeta, you ever see anything happening to Gable Steveson? They're going to try with him, but I don't see it. I see it more in his brother than I do him, to be honest with you. But I haven't seen enough of him, I guess, to fully judge. I just know that that match, that feud with Baron Corbin was just garbage. And I don't know. I don't know what his future holds, honestly. You know, obviously, he's a great wrestler. That's why they recruited him. But I've seen more personality out of his brother than I have Gable Steveson. All right, cool. I'm caught up. Thank you very much for all of the super chats, all the questions. Austin says, I did not get a chance to say this during the Revolution stream. I am meeting Sting on the 30th of this month. Well, that's very cool. Austin, is that at a convention, like a Comic-Con or something? That's very cool. I almost got to meet Sting at the New York Comic-Con a few years ago. My first time at Comic-Con, I had my press credentials and everything. And Sting was there, Christian Cage was there, and somebody else. But I could see Sting. There were so many people, not even like necessarily in line for him. It was just there's so many people on the main floor just trying to walk, just trying to navigate. I'm like, what the hell is this? Like, this is ridiculous. There's so many people here. So I was like trying to get over to Sting, and at some point I just said, the hell with it. I just went the other way. I said, I'm not doing this shit. I said, that's it. I'm done. And this will be the last time I go to New York Comic Con. It's ridiculous. It's too many people. Too chaotic. Not a fan. That's some cool stuff there, though. They did have some cool stuff there. Anyway, thank you again. Big Business is coming up on Wednesday night. The debut of Mercedes Moné is expected, not announced, but it is expected. And Samoa Joe is defending the AEW World title against Wardlow. We have Okada and the Young Bucks taking on Eddie Kingston, Penta, and Pac. That's going to be great. Chris Jericho is, what is he doing? Chris Jericho, who's he wrestling? Oh no, it's Jericho and Hook. Jericho and Hook against the Gates of Agony. Which, whatever. And Willow Nightingale takes on everyone's favorite. Riho is back this week. So we'll see what goes down as far as how they debut Mercedes on Wednesday night. But this is her big debut. And then The Rock is going to be back on SmackDown again on Friday night. So that should be a big night as well. If you missed episode 852 of the podcast, a lot of good stuff on there, a lot of news. Dark Side of the Ring review, nearly 40 minutes long as that gauntlet tonight. Go check it out. And thank you for all the positive feedback on that. I hope you enjoy it. We'll be doing reviews for all the episodes this season. This week is Buff Bagwell, so that'll be the review will hit next week. And I'll keep you guys posted on Sound Off Gamer. I'm going to try to jump into 2K24 tomorrow. I might record my first installment of Sound of Gamer 2K24 tomorrow, but if not, it should be in the next few days. So you got a lot of content coming to the channel. Keep supporting. Hit that thumbs up. I'll see you guys Wednesday night for Big Business.